I always appreciate you giving me a warm welcome. The weather is so nice and pleasant out here when I come in, first Sunday usually in January or December, and it's always Pastor called it November earlier, but it's always such a pleasant evening. But we're glad to be here. We're glad we weren't on the thruway coming earlier in the week. It would have been a different thing. It's always a challenge when I come through a church year after year, what to do. And I thought what I'd do tonight, usually I meet with the men and give them kind of a legislative briefing. And I don't really talk too much about what's going on in the state with the whole church. So I thought tonight would be good to give kind of a legislative briefing and then a brief message. Missionaries frequently, when they come to your church, will give a power or give a priest slide presentation about their ministry and then give a message. So that's what I'm kind of doing tonight. A lot of things happening, a lot of changes. Some conflicts, some things that are going on that I think you should be aware of. First of all, we'll talk about a few changes that have happened. First of all, in our ministry, Dwayne Motley stepped down as our CEO a year ago in June, and Nancy retired. They are back in the office more the last couple of months. Their traveling time, they got that kind of out of their system. Now they're home, they're kind of bored, and we've seen them more in the office in the last month than we have before. But he's doing well. Some of you asked about his health. Dwayne went through a whole bunch of things. He stepped down as our CEO and immediately fell apart. He had prostate cancer, had 24 radiation treatments, and then surgery to implant seeds, radioactive seeds. He had his gallbladder out. He blew out his knee just before legislative day last year. He had shingles. And this last week, they found a polyp in his colon. He's going to have surgery on that sometime in the spring. So continue to pray for him. He is remarkable, though. He had those radiation treatments, had no symptoms whatsoever. Had prostate cancer, had no symptoms whatsoever. The only way they found it was through a blood test, and so it's a good reminder, men, you ought to get that blood test once a year. He is continuing as our senior lobbyist. Jason McGuire is our CEO. Jason has really carved out a notch for himself in the state. He's well respected amongst the politicians now, as well as pastors and churches. He and his wife have three children. His family travels with him some of the time on Sundays, sometimes even in Albany. He'll bring them in, and he's really doing a great job. We're very thankful to work with him. He is more technology-oriented than neither Jason or Dwayne or I. And so we're on Facebook and Twitter, and he does all of those kind of things. So if you're into that kind of stuff, he is too. My title changed to Director of Church Relations. Basically, it's a little more descriptive of what I do. I am the liaison between our ministry and churches in the state. So if a church is having a problem with the state, I'm the one who handles that call. I get the call, it's forwarded to me. I do the research, find out what needs to be done. If we need legislation, I take it to Wayne and Jason. Here's the problem. Here's how it needs to be corrected. And then they run with it, hopefully to correct the problem. This is our whole staff. There's not a lot of us. Daryl Ziegfuss, who's in the red shirt in the back, has now officially retired. He worked for Kodak, retired, then worked for us for some 18 or 19 years. He's retired now, no longer in the office. And then Robin Slade next to him, she got another job. And so she stepped down as well. So we're back to a skeleton staff. That's the paid staff. Nancy works free of charge. We've never paid her a salary in all the years she's worked with us. So that's us. Barb and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary last June. I thought you might like to see what that looked like. I'm twice the man I used to be. But there we are. That was Barb hasn't changed much at all. Hair was a little longer, a little darker perhaps, but I have made a few changes. Anyway, I thought you'd like to see the way we looked back then. The other big news is our daughter Wendy got married. Wendy's a missionary to Japan, or was, with ABWE. And last year, about this time, we knew it was happening. John was visiting in Japan. They had met through the internet. Actually, they met at candidate school way back in 94. He was married. His wife died a few years ago. He initiated a contact with her. She didn't respond much. And then a friend reintroduced them through the internet, and they began to correspond back and forth. He visited her in Japan, and then she visited him in Spain last spring. While in Spain, he asked the question, called me, and was telling me about himself and beating around the bush. I said, what's the bottom line here? He said, what do you mean? Well, what do you want to do with my daughter? I said, well, I'd like to marry her. I said, well, you're going to ask or not? And so July 10th was their wedding, and she's leaving the church. She's not really trying to hide from the camera. She's trying to dodge some of those bubbles that were being blown. We have a new change in governors. Governor Patterson has, for the last 2 years, been really the accidental governor. He really has lost a lot of influence. His power has diminished. In some ways, people laugh at him, which is kind of unfortunate. I think it's too bad. He's got a lot of good characteristics. He has been on the wrong side of the social issues, though. Same-sex marriage, abortion, some of those things. So we will not be real sorry to see him go. The legislature has been made up of 109 Democrats to 41 Republicans in the Assembly. That's 2-1. That means all committees have 2 Democrats to every 1 Republican. All committees are chaired by a Democrat. They're fully in control. Sheldon Silver is the leader of the Assembly, or has been for these 2 years. Democrats took over in 2008. 32 Democrats to 30 Republicans elected Malcolm Smith to be their leader. He has not been a popular leader, and this last week when they had a special session, they voted for a new leader. So he will not be around. John Sampson is the new leader and has been functioning that way for a while. These, you can't see the pictures too well here. This is the Four Amigos. These were 4 Democrats who really were the thorn in the side of Malcolm Smith. 2 of them were pro-family, pro-life, voted against same-sex marriage. 2 of them were not so faithful. Actually, 3 of them, I guess, voted against same-sex marriage. Senator Krueger and Senator Diaz are our 2 champions that are still there with us. The other 2 are no longer in office. Challenges. What are we facing? This is stuff that came up in the legislature during the last year or last 2 years. First of all, the governor told us in January 7th, 2009, the state of our state is perilous. He was talking about finances and money. We're in trouble financially. We're spending too much money. We're overtaxed, overregulated. And pretty well everybody understands that. The problem is, what do you do about it? The governor, all the time he's been governor, has called for cutting the budget, and yet he submitted the largest budget in our history. So you have kind of a, what is it? Where do you stand on this? The legislature took the budget. They said it's too high. They didn't pass it on time. It's due April the 1st. They spent 5 extra months working on it. The budget he presented was $132 billion. By the time they finished 5 months of study and cuts, it was $137 billion. So it went up instead of down. So there's a disconnect somewhere. Here are some of the bills that were serious concerns. Reproductive Protection Act. This is a bill that is an abortion bill that would set abortion on demand as the public policy of the state of New York. Our concern about this is it could force Catholic hospitals and others to do abortion, doctors who are opposed to abortion, to do abortions. It could be used against crisis pregnancy centers, could perhaps be used against churches. It's a bad bill. I'm thankful to tell you that we blocked it this year. Then it could come up, but we don't think so. Healthy Teen Act established grants for groups like Planned Parenthood to develop and teach comprehensive sex ed in the public schools. If there's one group I do not want teaching my teenager about sex, it's Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the United States. Comprehensive means immoral or amoral. So they teach heterosexuality, but they also teach homosexuality, transsexuality, bisexuality, all as being just various lifestyles. Instead of saying, wait till marriage and marry sex between the husband and his wife. That one was blocked. We cost Planned Parenthood on that one. It's estimated between $10 and $20 million here in the state of New York. Anytime I can cost Planned Parenthood money, I feel good, by the way. I feel like I've earned my wages for that day. Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, or GENDA, prohibits discrimination against anyone due to their gender or gender expression in areas of employment, housing, or public accommodations. Now, Jason had the gall of asking the sponsor, what are public accommodations? And they said, well, that's like bathrooms, shower rooms, bathhouses, etc. So in other words, under this bill, you couldn't put a sign up that say men only or women only. A man who's feeling his feminine side could use a ladies' room. That's what this bill means. Now, I don't think decent people would stand for it. Jason started calling it the bathroom bill. A transsexual called him and asked if he could meet him in Albany. And Jason said, well, how will I know who you are? He said, well, I'll be wearing a pink dress and pumps. And sure enough, this 6-foot-something guy came in with a few days' beard, said, in a pink dress, and he said, well, Jason said, what can I do for you? He said, well, we really like you to stop calling it the bathroom bill. And he said, well, why? Because we can't pass it as long as you keep calling it that. So would you change it so we can pass the bill? Well, our goal is to block the bill, so I'm not sure. But, you know, a guy wearing a pink dress probably is not in his right mind anyway. But this bill was blocked again this year. This was a tough one. It was blocked by one vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator Ruben Diaz voted against it. Dignity for All Students is a bill we've been fighting for a number of years. It was presented as an anti-bullying bill. Now, we're against bullying, name-calling, etc. That's what the bill was directed against, name-calling. There have been a couple high-profile homosexual teenagers that killed themselves. The story was high-profile. And as a result, this one sailed through the legislature this year. It's unfortunate. It changes education law that says we have to teach, all schools will have to teach tolerance toward those who are different sex, gender, sexual orientation, etc. I'm in favor of tolerance as long as you don't mean that to be endorsement. But I'm concerned under this bill and what the commissioner will do, who is authorized to write the rules or regulations to go with it, he'll say that this has to be taught as normal. So the abnormal is being told our children have to learn that it's normal. And that's a serious concern to us, it should be. No-fault divorce was a bill that changed the domestic relations law concerning divorce. The old law required a member of the couple to file charges, a plaintiff, and against the other, that would be the defendant, listing grounds for divorce. Under this bill, there is no grounds. You don't have to have any reason other than you want out of a marriage. This did pass. It is now, the law takes effect July of next year. Unto death us depart becomes until one of us feels differently. So the covenant of marriage has been changed legally in the state of New York to a contract, and the contract has a clause until one of us changes our mind. That's a terrible thing. Our big victory in the last 2 years has been the defeat of same-sex marriage. The Assembly has passed this now 4 times. The last one was 88-51 on December 2nd, 2009. And then the Senate voted against it on the same day, 38-24. Governor Patterson expected the win. He came up from his office to the Senate lobby to meet the press, congratulate the homosexuals on their victory. Was shocked when he heard that 8 Democrats had joined the 30 Republicans in the Senate to vote it down. Cut those out. I thought I had a list of them. That was probably the biggest victory of the whole year as far as a legislative victory. Now, the problem with this is we're going to have to fight this same battle and some of these same battles next year. I think the bathroom bill will be back. They just will probably eliminate the public accommodations. They're willing to settle for a piece of a bill if they can't get the whole thing. I think that's probably what will happen. Same-sex marriage will probably be back as well. Conflicts. Here's some problems that churches are having. One of the big ones is taxation. There are several proposed bills that would directly tax churches. And we've been fighting these for about 5 years. There is a growing belief in Albany that they need money, and the churches have a lot of it. If they could just get a little bit of our money, they could solve their financial problems. Now, they really don't know Baptists. We don't have any money at all. They just don't understand us. But the bills were, one was a fire assessment bill that allowed the local fire district to assess you. Now, I encourage churches to donate to the fire department. I personally donate to my local fire department. I'm glad they're there if I have a problem. That's different than a tax on a church. I think that's unconstitutional. The second one was an annual application you'd have to fill out. a questionnaire and prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you are a church in order to be tax exempt. Our problem with that is, I work with churches all the time, the letter would go to the wrong person, get lost on the pastor's desk, the treasurer would look at it and say, oh, we're already exempt, we don't need to do this, and you get slapped with a tax bill for a year. This could bankrupt churches. Tax on undeveloped land. A lot of churches buy land thinking they're going to expand someday, and then they're raising money to build a new building. It might be 20 years before they build. Well, they would like this changed so that if you don't build within 2 years or start construction within 2 years, you have to pay taxes from the date that you purchase the land. Those this year were all blocked. There are two bills that got through, a utility surcharge. Last year's budget, not this year, but a year ago, they set a 2% surcharge on everybody's electricity. This does not go to to build the infrastructure of the utility company or anything like that. It's strictly to offset the budget. It's a tax. And they did not exempt churches. So churches are paying 2%. Now, it didn't amount to a lot of money. It's only $5 to $10 for the average church, according to our survey. However, if they can tax you a little bit, then they can come back and tax. This can't stand. If it does, we can expect more taxes down the road. So we tried to correct it this year. We were not able to do so. And so we have attorneys looking at it. We expect to file suit against the state of New York in the very near future using Alliance Defense Fund lawyers. Constitutionally, we're on very solid ground. The church should be churches should be tax exempt. You should not have to pay taxes. Then secondly, the MTA tax is a Metropolitan Transit Authority tax. It was not on everybody, but 14 counties are being charged as an employer tax. The employer pays so much per thousand of his payroll. So churches, many churches in Long Island, for instance, are paying several hundred dollars for this tax. It is in the thousands of dollars for most churches down there. So it's really a bad tax. We also, again, are going to try to get this one. It'll either be a part of the same lawsuit or a separate lawsuit to prove that it's unconstitutional tax. Excessive regulations. 1984, a book was written that had a phrase, Big Brother is watching you. Well, we live in past 1984. Here are problems that churches are actually facing, operating permits. This was started in 2006. It authorizes the towns to write rules and regulations to implicate, to apply the Uniform Building Code. Now, previously you had to build to a code, and you, once you did that, you were inspected, you were approved, and you were all set. You got a certificate of occupancy. Now they want this to be an annual inspection, where this building inspector can come in and demand changes. And some of the changes, some of the time it's just routine, and it's $50 or $300. We've heard fees all the way up to $750 to inspect your building. It really doesn't do anything to improve safety. It doesn't do anything to improve the building. And we're having some churches that are having problems with it because they're saying, well, you've got a wooden stairwell, you've got to remove that. You have a chairlift that has to be inspected, et cetera, costing a lot of money. So fire and building code regulations or enforcement, zoning. Some churches want to build and they're told their church is big enough. Health department. We had a whole rash of these this summer. Many churches have wild game dinners for men. It's an outreach. It works very successfully. Health department's telling churches, some churches, you can't do this. First Baptist Church Murillo was told they couldn't have it. First Baptist Church in, I guess I had it at the tip of my tongue, Little Falls. Little Falls was told they could not have a game dinner, wild game dinner. There is a provision in the code they can do it. Can help you if you have a problem with it. Churches are told they have to have a food service license, just like a restaurant, so that your kitchen has to be up to the same kind of code as a restaurant. Even though you really don't serve meals, you don't really commercially serve meals. One church, the inspector came through and said, oh, you have to have a commercial stove. You have a residential stove. So they put it in. They didn't want to argue, but they didn't want us to know about it. They called us and said it cost them $1,000. Another church in the same area had a commercial stove. The inspector said, oh, you need a commercial hood. So the pastor got two bids on what it would cost to put in this fire suppression hood. like you would have over a deep fryer. The only thing they'd have is a little stove where they heat casseroles once in a while. That's all they use it for. It's a small church. It's going to cost them $8,000. And they're told either put it in or take the stove out and do not have any meals. You can't serve any kind of food, no dinners or suppers. Another church had a license, and the inspector came through and saw a sign for a potluck dinner. He said, "What's this?" "Oh, we're having a potluck dinner on Sunday night after the morning service." He said, "You can't do that. You can't have a potluck dinner." Now, I'm a Baptist, too. If we couldn't have potluck dinners, we're in serious trouble. You understand that? Well, the truth is, there is a provision in the regulation. You can have a covered dish. The inspector was wrong. So part of what I do is I looked up the regulations. I found the regulations. I talked to people in Albany. And yes, indeed, you can. And so wrote a nice letter to the inspector telling him to take a hike. Christian school diplomas are being challenged. We deal with this every once in a while. People don't understand the issue, and I don't have time to explain it right now. But it's just kind of an ongoing thorn in our side of Christian school diplomas being questioned. Church buses. A church in New York City thought they were in full compliance with the laws. Now, most churches are not in compliance. There are two departments, the Department of Transportation, that deals with the bus, Department of Motor Vehicles, that deals with the driver. There now is a requirement that you have an S endorsement, not only a CDL, but an S endorsement, just like a school bus driver, to drive a school bus. You can get around that if you drive less than 30 days a year. However, the church has to keep records. Church in Brooklyn, International Baptist Church, thought they were in full compliance. They had a company that they hired to take care of the records for them and to advise them on what they needed to do. They did everything they were told to do. However, the company lost a certification 3 years ago. They didn't inform the church. They did continue collecting the fee. They did not inform the Department of Motor Vehicles, neither did the Department of Motor Vehicles contact the church. They came in to inspect their records, found them in violation of the regulation 187 times. And the fine was $500 per violation. Then they appealed that as being excessively high, and the person who was in charge agreed and raised the fine. $43,000, you can pay it $1,000 a month for 43 months. We won't charge you interest. We're in the process of trying to correct that. Now, $43,000 on any church would hurt, no matter what size church it is. And this is a church, what are the buses used for? To pick up children and adults that could not come to church apart from a bus. This is Brooklyn. This is in the city where people don't own cars. And they need that transportation to get there. And so it's crippling to some churches. Many churches have dropped their bus ministry altogether. Now, you've already seen the picture. Do you remember the swine flu epidemic last year? Remember tens of thousands of people were going to die? Everybody had to get the shot. The health commissioner said you had to get the swine flu shot if you're a medical person or lose your job. We had a lot of calls on this. There was a lot of people pressured saying, "I will not get the shot. I don't think it's safe." Now, we don't take a position on vaccinations. That's between you and your doctor. I think it should be between you and your doctor, not you and your doctor and the state. The health commissioner thought the state should be able to do that. Now, the picture is if you wake up in the morning and you look like this, go back to bed. Okay? The epidemic really, the health commissioner backed off because there was so much of a protest. And the epidemic really fizzled out. Swine flu is no more dangerous than any other kind of flu. Now, vaccinations can help. I'm not opposed to vaccinations. But I am opposed to the state telling you that you must inject something into your body. I think we need to draw some lines here. Here, this is a state where a woman has control of her own body so she can kill her own baby. Yet the same state says we control enough of your body to tell you what you have to inject into it. That's crazy. And we need to stand up for our rights. Anyway, if you look like that, you're in trouble. Here's our new governor. We made some choices this year, for good or ill. Here's our governor, Andrew Cuomo. He is very pro-choice. He is very pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage, homosexual agenda, etc. I think we're going to have a rough time with him. He has a live-in girlfriend. He has two teenage daughters. I think he sets a terrible example for the whole state. I am probably more concerned about this fellow. This is our new Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman. Eric Schneiderman is fully in the pocket of the homosexual agenda in New York State. Empire State of Pride agenda endorsed him early in his campaign. He has introduced bills in the legislature when he was a state senator. They were much part of the gay agenda. I think we're going to have some real problems with this guy. I think he's going to go after crisis pregnancy centers, and we're going to have to defend them. The legislature, here's the makeup right now. The Senate, it looks like it's flipped. That number is not right. It's probably going to be 32 to 30. It was announced yesterday a Republican won. The numbers have been a little flexible. That's why the question marks are there. But it looks now like the Republicans are going to be in charge. And then it's 101 Democrats to 49 Republicans. So there's a little change in the assembly, still 2-1, Democrat to Republicans, Democrats going to run things. The Senate, if the Republicans are in charge, it'll make life easier for us, simply because they're usually more pro-moral. Some of the bills I mentioned may not even be brought up because the Republicans will block them and stop it. Well, here's the charge. Here's what we need. The other thing we're doing right now that you should be aware of is our Power in the Pulpit ministry. This is something we started a few years ago in response to Empire State Pride agendas, Pride in the Pulpit. They have a group of ministers they claim that endorse the homosexual agenda. Legislators were asking us, where are your guys? We decided to show them. We had a rally. The rally brought about 400 guys out. Since then, we've added about 100 more ministers, guys that we've asked to do three things: pray for revival, preach on the issues of our day, and partner with us to change New York. On choices, did you use the voter's guide that we produced this year, any of you? I'm kind of checking to see. That was only, for the assembly, it was only up about a week before. We only had it for about 2 weeks. It's the biggest project we've done. We had over 350,000 hits. People that looked at it and used it. We learned some things this year. Next year it'll be back. Next 2 years it'll be back. America and New York's problems will not be solved through politics, however. What we really need is revival. And that's why I have work in that. What do we need you to do? Well, Pastor's already mentioned we need you to pray. Prayer is an important part of everything we do. There are no victories apart from prayer. God answers prayer. God changes hearts, even the heart of the king. Secondly, we need you to partner with us. That's personal support. If you give $10 a month, we call you a watchman. There's an envelope on the table you can use to give. And you could even use your credit card if you want. But we need financial support. We really, in order for me to be in the office and answer the phone call from a church in Brooklyn that has a problem and then try to help them, I need financial support. We simply have to have help. And then we need you to participate with us. We have some neat things going on. The Freedoms Alert, we haven't had an issue for a few months because we haven't had the funds to send it out. We hope to have that corrected this month and send out an issue soon. So that might be a prayer request. The Albany Update is done by email, and that's done each week. And Legislative Action Center is part of our website. And, of course, Legislative Day. This year our theme is Restoring New York, Joel 2:25. I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent amongst you. I believe we're under chastisement, and we really need to see a restoration. Our keynote speaker will be Dave Barton, who's one of our favorite speakers. I think you'll enjoy him, so I encourage you to bring a group. Legislative Day, March 15th, the Ides of March, 2011. And then some of you may have been wondering why I have a lion in the background. First of all, I like the picture. But secondly, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Anybody have a question about what's going on in the legislature? How do we get Cuomo? Well, Christians were scared of Paladino. He had a habit of shooting from the hip. When he did, he scared people. And people either didn't vote or voted for Cuomo. That's how we end up with Cuomo. It's too bad because a lot of things that Paladino said are things that were true, that need to be said. But some of the things he said, you know, I told Fred Dicker, the reporter, I'm going to take you out, Fred. That's not a good thing. I'm not very gubernatorial, and so it's unfortunate. Any questions? Now you all know what's going on in the state. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Well, I hope I haven't discouraged you too much. Need to be bold. Did I show you my rock last year? This is a rock that I've had for 40 years. I was in Israel in February 1970, the same year Barb and I got married in June. And our tour bus went to the Valley of Elah. That's the valley where David slew Goliath. And it's a neat thing to do. The bus stopped, we got out, and the tour guide shows us the hillside where the Philistine army was, and showed us the hillside where the Israelite army was, and we were right at the brook where David picked up five stones. And when he got all done explaining what had happened there, the guide said, feel free to go and pick up a stone. So I went and I looked in the brook and I found this stone. This is the stone I've had. I picked it up that day. It's got a little bit of a notch in it, so I thought it'd be a good throwing stone. I didn't know much about slings, but I didn't know about throwing. So I thought this would be a good stone for throwing. This is my stone. I put it in my pocket. And then I got to thinking about that. So I went to the tour guide and he said, it's been 3,000 years since David slew Goliath in that valley. We're not the first tour bus to stop, and I'm not the first tourist to pick up a stone. How is it there are any stones left? And he smiled and he said, well, to tell you the truth, the Israeli Tourism Council brings them in by the truckload at night, dumps them. One thing Israel has is a lot of stones, and we're clearing the land one tourist at a time. Well, I keep it to remind me that things are not always what they seem. I keep it in my Bible case, and I've used it as an illustration this year quite a bit to talk about that story a little bit. And that's what I thought I'd end up with tonight. That's one of the great Bible stories. When I was a pastor, I loved teaching Vacation Bible School and acting out that story. Kids, I had them around the edge of their seat cheering, and it's an exciting story. It's a story that really did happen. David was a teenage boy sent by his father to visit his brothers. When he gets to the place where the army's encamped, before he reaches there, he sees the strangest thing. The largest man he's ever seen, a guy that's almost 10 feet tall, comes and challenges the army of Israel. Send a champion to fight me! If he wins, we'll be your slaves. If I win, you'll be our slaves. It made David angry. He was incensed. And so he made his way to the camp, and he said, what is this? And they said, well, this guy's been coming for 40 days and challenging the armies of Israel. And David was shocked. Why don't one of you fight him? Have you seen how big he is? He's too big to fight. David said, no, you got it all wrong. He's too big to miss. I'll fight him. Well, pretty soon a crowd's gathered around him, and we found a man that's willing to fight the giant. He's willing to do it. And his brother comes up. Any of you have an older brother? Older brothers tend to be bossy, don't they? Have you noticed that? They're telling you not to answer, son, so don't answer. Okay, but older brothers tend to be bossy. And his older brother came up to him and said, what are you doing here, David? Why aren't you back home taking care of some sheep? I know the naughtiness of it. You're come to see the battle. That's why you're here. And David's response to his brother was, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? For David, the cause was threefold. First of all, it was a matter of faith. This giant had defied the true and the living God. Now, I kind of made sport of how big he was, but David wasn't looking at how big the giant was. He was looking at how big his God was. This man had defied the armies of the true and the living God. This man was blaspheming the name of David's God. And David said, I won't stand for it. I'm going to stand up for the faith I'll fight him. When he approached Goliath, remember, Goliath said, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks and stones? David had been given armor and the sword of Saul, but he couldn't use those. He hadn't tried them. But he did know about a rod. He did know about a sling. And so he chose to fight the giant with weapons that he knew. But it wasn't the weapons, because he alone, he said, you have blasphemed God. And the battle's not mine. The battle's the Lord's. And he will give me the victory. It was a matter of faith. It's a matter of family. David understood that the only thing between his family and the Philistines was a cowardly Israelite army and him. Somebody had to stop this giant. Somebody had to inspire the armies of Israel, and he was God's man for that purpose. It was a matter of his family, protecting mom and dad. And then it was a matter of freedom. The issue was very simple. The giant said, if I win, you'll be our slaves. It's a matter of freedom in our ministry. What we're doing has to do with faith, family, and freedom. First of all, it's not a political issue. It's a matter of faith. Matter of faith. We're standing up for the faith, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're standing up for families. The right of families to educate their children as they see fit rather than the dictates of the state. It's a matter of freedom. We're losing our freedom in America. Little by little, the state is closing in on us, and we're losing the freedom that we've all enjoyed. And so on my card, it says, defending faith, family, and freedom. That's why. David's response is my question to you. Is there not a cause? I think there is. I ask for your help. Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedom that we do enjoy. Thank you for our families. Thank you most of all for the faith. This special time of year when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming again someday to straighten out the whole mess. But in the meantime, you told us to occupy till I come. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Stiles. Amen.